Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
So there's Jay's got something coming up in a couple of weeks. He's going to be over at anarchapulco.com with an online presentation. We got into some of that. She's actually going to be working on later tonight here in the studio. So we'll be a part of that here, I guess, to some extent.
Yep.
And looking forward to hearing more about that as it develops in the next couple of weeks. And, of course, the phones are open as always, plus they're locking down ice cream in New York City at various different vendors, everything from Duane Reade to Walgreens. In fact, I was just seeing that apparently there's one Walgreens, and I'm sorry, I don't remember what the city was, where they've completely boarded up. This might be San Francisco. I should double-check this story. Yep, it is San Francisco. So the in addition to chaining up the freezer section to stop people from getting in and stealing frozen foods, they have also now boarded up the windows of one of the San Francisco Walgreens. Store is still open. It's just all of the windows now have boards on them, as though it were like, you know, a hurricane or something like that.
Yeah, there's an S storm going on.
Of stealing.
The other S that's all over the sidewalks.
Literal S. Yeah, yeah. I see what you're saying.
In San Francisco. They need that for the windows, I'm sure.
It's crazy what's going on in these places. So we can continue, though, with your calls and thoughts. Also coming up, are Americans pulling back from the values that once defined the United States? We'll get into it.
I think so.
But let's first talk to Major Payne on the line in Michigan. Go ahead, Major. You're on with Ian and Jay.
Yeah, you guys were just talking about the streets of Frisco. Mm-hmm. I remember like a year or two back, they were handing out maps of places to avoid because of fecal piles.
They actually had an app. I don't know if they had a physical map. It wouldn't surprise me if they did. But they actually had an app that you could download that was updated, right? So if somebody could report a pile of doo-doo in the streets of San Francisco, and that way you'd see like updated reports as you're walking around the city. You would know where to be on the lookout and where not to step.
All of a sudden, there's like five pups tents underneath the only shade tree in the median, you know.
Well, I don't know if you need a map to find those things, because as I understand,
you know,
they're fairly prevalent.
It's just crazy. The inner city is spinning out of control.
Yeah, I can't imagine why anyone would want to live in these places. I mean, I don't know how much money you're making there, but I don't know if it's worth getting stabbed at a 2 a.m. robbery.
Addiction's why they want to live there.
Addiction to what?
The drugs. The convenient lifestyle of the city. There's all
they
kinds of
like
people
lifestyle,
that want to live there. Like I literally have... Well, so a city like Manchester, New Hampshire is really not that bad.
Yeah, it's only 100,000 or 125,000 people there.
And Concord is not that bad.
40,000 there.
They're not really, you know, cities compared to like, you know, what these other, you know, major cities that have millions of people. But also these are, you know, places where... anyone can carry, so they're kind of safer streets anyways. Just like I was saying a couple weeks ago, there's a block of Manchester that was really bad 5-6 years ago with the prostitutes and just the crimes and stuff, and a bunch of Free Staters bought houses there, and they're renting out, you know, apartments to these houses, other Free Staters, and these guys were all open carrying because you can, and the streets, those areas, like, cleaned up really well.
What were you calling about tonight, Major?
Well, you guys were talking about all this alien business and whatnot, and I'm thinking about when they first blasted off the A-bomb in Nevada. I just heard a thing from a lady that had a farm out there back in the day, and she was like 100 miles away from the epicenter. And she said it rained that nasty atomic fly ash down so hard on her place that it coated the cattle and their hair fell off. I mean, damn near everything died. But you think about it, that was right when they had World War II going on. So they couldn't put out the brush fire they just started with all this, right? So shortly after that is when they came up with this Area 51. Oh, we got an alien aircraft, and we got to protect the whole sector for 35 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they just consumed the whole damn blast site, so nobody could get any evidence.
Yep, and now there's all this mystery surrounding it. No one, you know, has been publicly admitting anything. Bonnie used to live on a military base where there's all kinds of secret things going on. In fact, the military base she lived on, they say, the rumor is that they moved all of the stuff from Area 51 that was the most interesting, you know, potential alien aircraft or bodies or whatever. They actually moved them out of Area 51 and moved them to this place called Dugway Proving Ground, which is in Utah.
Texas, close by.
Utah, that's where that one is.
Yeah, well, close enough. I didn't figure they'd truck them halfway across the country.
Yeah. But who knows what the truth is about this stuff and whether we'll ever know.
They learned at that point, oh, we got to put out this brush fire. Well, ever since then, they've been igniting the brush fire to smoke over the damn problem.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Smoke screen.
Create some kind of catastrophe to distract everybody from the damn man behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to share tonight, Major?
No, it's just hard to figure your way through the world anymore, dude. Peace out.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Well, that's why we're here, you know, to have open phones. Anyone can call in and share their view of the world, including Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Jay. Sarah in New Mexico, going once. Sarah, going twice. All right.
She might be on hold with another talk radio show.
She may be, although she did. She used to be a regular caller to multiple shows, but she claimed at one point that she was only calling our show.
Probably because we're the only ones that would let her talk,
yeah,
right?
That's probably right. They probably banned her from the other shows. Here's a story I've been sitting on for a little bit, and I figure since we got you here, Jay, you're kind of our values guy on the show more so than anybody else. And so I figured you might appreciate this story, which is from the Wall Street Journal a little earlier this year. They say patriotism, religious faith, having children, and other priorities that help define the national character for generations are receding in importance to Americans, according to a Wall Street Journal NORC poll. The survey conducted with NORC at the University of Chicago, a nonpartisan research organization, also finds the country sharply divided by political party over social trends, such as the push for racial diversity in businesses and the use of gender-neutral pronouns. Some 38% of respondents said patriotism was very important to them. 39% said religion was very important. And those numbers are apparently down sharply from when the journal first asked the question in 1998. So we're talking about 25 years ago, roughly. 25 years ago, it was 70% who said that patriotism was very important, and 62% at the time said religion was very important. Those are significant changes.
I can tell you patriotism means different things to different people.
Sure does. Yeah, it's important. What does the word mean to you?
So, well, to me, a patriot would be someone who would, you know, have values of liberty and freedom and, you know, basically the ideas that were, you know, the important ideas, the goals, you know, around the time of the writing of the Declaration of Independence. Stuff like that. That's what I, you know, would say. A patriotism was standing up for your country, standing up for your neighbor, standing up for what is right, protecting people who can't, you know, who like protecting the old ladies, protecting the children, protecting the women, whatever, like those kind of things.
I just want to clarify what you said. You said standing up for your country. You don't mean the government when you say that, right?
No, and when I mean my country, I refer to New Hampshire as my country.
Ah, okay.
Standing up for your land. You know, if somebody's going to come in and attack, you would want to, you know, stand up for it, or even if it was a neighboring tribe coming to, you know, just, you know, rape and pillage, for example, you know, which what might have been more of standing up for your country 300 years ago than, you know, what we think of it as today, or, you know, but like, for example, I was in Massachusetts, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, and I had to get some auto parts at like kind of a mom and pop truck place that I know of. And I'm talking to the guy who owns the place, and he goes, oh, that will be blah, 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 or something, whatever, $150 or something. And I said, if I pay you cash money, can we, you know, knock off the sales taxes? And you know, and you just put the money in your pocket or whatever. Is there a cash discount? And he goes, you want me to knock off the sales tax? He got, like, all bent out of shape.
Really?
If I didn't need this part, I probably just would have left it there on a counter.
Damn.
And he got all upset, and he slaps himself on the chest with his fist, and he says, I'm patriotic. I gonna collect the taxes and pay them. And,
oh,
you know, he started
giving
me sort of this speech. And I go, okay.
That's terrible.
I go, you know, you're just feeding a parasite. And he was just, he's like, well, have a good day, sir. There you go. You know, he didn't want to get into it with me, but yep, he was not interested. That was his term of patriotism, was making sure Massachusetts got their 6.25% sales tax.
Well, I mean, it would be one thing for a business owner to turn you down on the basis of they're scared of getting caught and punished for not collecting the tax, but that wasn't what he was saying.
No. He definitely
it was a badge of honor for him to. Wow, man.
Yep.
Wow, that's shocking to me. But that is, it's a good point. I mean, different people have different definitions of the word patriotism. For some people, whatever the government says, they will do it because patriotism, and so, that's a completely different viewpoint from what you were expressing.
So when I walked out of the store, a guy was waiting outside. He kind of heard. He goes, you know who is probably his number one customer is, right? I don't know. He goes,
State
Massachusetts
Police.
Highway Department.
Oh, man. That figures.
He goes, yeah, they're you know,
all their trucks.
He goes, every time
plows.
I go by there, their repair shop, one of their trucks is dropping them off parts. You know, it's a one location mom and pop stores, been there forever.
Wow.
And, you know, the guy's known me good part of my life. And he kind of knows that I'm, you know, was, you know, it's in Palmer, actually, this place.
Yeah.
And you know, he knows I'm, like, you know, against
the
property
how you
tax.
Are.
Yeah. And, you know,
he
knows who I am.
Okay. Let's go to the phones here. We can continue on the patriotism subject in a moment, but caller, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Jay. Go ahead.
Hey, Ian and Jay, this is Dr. Stone, and I have a few things I wanted to talk about, but first, if you don't mind, I'll clarify. Patriotism, according to the American Heritage Dictionary, 5th edition, I think the 4th and 5th definitions are what we probably resonate with the most. The 5th, the love of country, devotion to the welfare of one's compatriots, the virtues and actions of a patriot, and the passion which inspires one to serve one's country.
See, the thing you have to be aware of, and I think a lot of people are not aware of this, the state, this idea of, you know, the monopoly on violence that we talk about so much here, whether you want to call it the United States federal government or the state of New Hampshire or the state of or the Commonwealth of Massachusetts or whatever other language they put around their organizational name, they have an interest in conflating the idea of the nation with the idea of the country, with the idea of America, with the idea of the land, because these are all sort of different things, but yet they want to roll it all up together. If you ask somebody, what is the state, and then you just let them answer that question, you may not get the answer that you're expecting. They may talk about, it's the land, or, you know, it's the country, or there's all these different concepts sort of all rolled up into one. When we're talking about the state, we're specifically referring to the violent thug group of this criminal syndicate that calls themselves the state of fill in the blank or the United States. But that's not the same thing as North America. It's not the same thing as America. It's not the same thing as the country. But a lot of people have this confusion, and they believe that patriotism is, when they say loving one's country, they're thinking about maybe the people and the land, but at the same time, because the United States is sort of the country in their mind, they also will ally themselves with loving the United States, even though you can further press them and say, wait, are you saying you love the government and what it does? And then they might say, well, I don't know. I love everything they do. And then they'll kind of justify and they'll step back maybe and be a little bit more clear. But without that clarity, without asking the right questions, without really kind of defining the terms we're talking about, it's easy for somebody to just interchangeably use the country for America, for the United States, when these are very different concepts.
And also, to, you know, the thing is with this patriotism, you know, it sometimes some people confuse it with
nationalism.
Well, nationalism and also cultism.
Mm-hmm.
So the United States, for example, is basically the state itself, as far as I can tell, with all these people who worship it, it's a cult.
Absolutely.
There was a article that we did here in Free Talk Live a few years ago. Where at some county fair, some kid did not stand for the flag, and the guy right next to him basically smacked a kid real hard.
Wow, that's crazy.
Causing him an ear injury. And it was like a 13-year-old kid that got, you know, backhanded by some 40-some-odd-year-old dude standing next to him for not saluting the flag, not taking his hat off and saluting the flag. And then when I used to do the truck pulls, they would always, you know, do the national anthem or, you know, whatever it is, And I never, you know, took off my hat. I never paid attention to it. I just kept on doing whatever I was doing. And every now and then,
get the evil eye from some people.
Oh yeah, some people give me a hard time. Mm-hmm. You know, especially like there was every now and then some old veteran come over with his veteran, you know, USS Titanic, right, well, not whatever, you know, trucker hat. You're not, yeah, not Titanic, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. And the Navy's hats.
We gave a lot for this country. And I go, no, you were fighting for a military industrial complex. Yeah. And I started telling them that stuff. Oh, that's hogwash. I was in Vietnam. And I go, oh, you mean the Gulf of Tonkin incident or Korea or whatever? And, you know, that was an inside job, too. And, you know, and you know, some of these guys, a couple years later, he's like, you were right about the Gulf of Tonkin.
Really?
He goes, I talked to one of my friends down at the VFW a couple weeks ago. And when I mentioned, you said that boat was put there. And he said that was a fact.
Wow.
And he goes,
2 years later. That's awesome.
Yeah. And, he was always at that same truck pull.
You never know when a seed that you plant is going to get watered and sprout at some point.
I could tell you, seeds I've been planting for years, many of them sprouted with COVID. Mm-hmm. People hit me up on all kind of, on messaging platforms. Actually, they would text me, be like, oh, I found your phone number, but I've been messaging you on Facebook. I don't use Facebook anymore. and you're right. You're talking about this stuff 15 years ago. You're absolutely right, man. I apologize for doubting you. And even my own mom was like, you're so right about it. Oh.
Better late than never.
Yep.
All right, caller, or Stone, or whatever your name is. What else?
Okay, so Jay, I appreciate you sharing that anecdote. Obviously, assault and battering someone because you don't like their non-action, because you don't like their disobedience to the flag or the song or whatever it is that's criminal assault and battery, and the perpetrator should be held liable, and it, at the very least, cover the medical bills to repair that damage. And Ian, that was very very well spoken. I appreciate you adding that commentary on patriotism also.
Sure.
And I think something that we might agree on is that rather than referring it to like a nation or a country, more of a tribe. So for us, we have a shared declaration, the Shire Society Declaration. So that's kind of like our tribe.
Yeah, people who want to learn about this, it's basically a declaration of personal independence, your independence from the idea of the state. And it is available to read and to sign if you like online. You can go to shiresociety.com. It's there available. You can read it in full. You can see the original signed hemp paper documents that we signed back in 2010. Can you believe it's been 13 years since the Shire Society declaration was written? And we had a big signing ceremony with dozens of people who signed that thing there. And I know that you happened to go and get a Ron Paul to sign the Shire Society Declaration. So kudos to you for that.
Thanks. I appreciate the praise there, Ian. And sorry about that. But if it's okay to change gears, I did a little Bible study tonight. A little bit of a meeting, and I think something that's been on my mind a little bit because of what's going on in our community, not necessarily our tribe, but our community. So Proverbs 16:28, if you don't mind, I'll read that. A troublemaker causes dissension, and a slanderer separates close friends. And I think the Bible does, and the scriptures, the various scriptures hold a lot of wisdom that we can learn from and teach our friends and the following generations, as has been done for several millennium now. So that's something on my mind, because there's a lot of people, it seems, that are intentionally trying to spread words to cause harm and to sow division and to slow the growth of our tribe, particularly.
Mm-hmm.
Because they realize how powerful we are when we come together with a shared creed, and
Absolutely. I mean, the feds have been all over the Free State Project as a movement since as far back as 2005, when Agent Phil Christiana paid, at least that we know of, his first visit to Keene, and he tried to go and talk to Dave Ridley at the time, who was living over in the trailer park here in Keene at the place where multiple Free Staters have lived, and they've been meddling with us ever since. Yeah, they set up Rich Paul, who's now known as Nobody, to bust him for selling cannabis, and they tried to flip him and get him to wear a wire into the Keene Activist Center. And these are just the things we know about. We know the same guy, by the way, was behind the investigation into the Crypto Six. But again, these are the things we know that they were doing. What we don't know is what we don't know they were doing, and God knows how many undercover informants and agents and, you know, people they're trying to gin up some violence, you know, provocateurs that they might have brought into this movement in the last 20 years. It's untold.
For sure. And I think one of the things we should focus on as we're spreading the message is our words and how we communicate with people and interact, that we should focus on positive words that are healing from the heart and positive. And obviously you guys are well-spoken and just being virtuous, preaching virtuous, you know, righteousness and basically trying to be lovable. And so in our words, we should be at least praiseworthy by what we're trying to spread here.
Good advice. Anything else you want to share tonight?
Yeah, also we should probably try to avoid complaining and expressing jealousy and basically talking smack and anger and hurtful words are things that we should try and avoid when we're spreading the message of voluntarism.
Yeah, I totally agree. Thank you for the call tonight. Definitely appreciate the thoughts. The number here, if you want to jump into the discussion, it's 603-283-6160. So talking about some pretty significant reductions in ideas that were purportedly important to the founding of the United States. The survey done by the University of Chicago apparently has been done for about 25 years, maybe at least 25 years. They had a survey in 1998 when 70% said patriotism was very important. That number held, you know, mostly through about 2019 when it was 61% that said patriotism was very important. So it had gone down, but then it dropped to 38% this year. What was it that happened between 2019 and 2023, a period of just 4 years? I mean, COVID? Was it COVID that dropped people's, quote, very important patriotism from 61% to 38%?
I think a lot of the general patriotism drop is due to just government so obscenely corrupt and you just can't avoid it. It's everywhere. I mean, especially with, like, Hunter Biden.
Yeah, but in the
Biden
last
friend.
4 years, I mean, it isn't that much more corrupt now than it was 8 years ago.
I think it's just a lot more in your face right now, especially with all the woke narrative and everything happening.
There's more coming up here. There's a few more statistics that you might find interesting from this survey, again, changing dramatically over the last 25 years. Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA morning news update. Gas prices are at an 8-month high. More from Brian Shook.
AAA reports the national average price for a gallon of regular gas hit $3.71 on Thursday. That's the highest the average has hit since November and is 13 cents more compared to a week ago. The jump comes as the price for a barrel of oil has surged to $80, a 3-month high. California has the highest average price at $4.93, while Mississippi drivers are seeing the lowest average at $3.17 a gallon. I'm Brian Shook.
Bud Light maker Anheuser-Busch is laying off hundreds after the recent fallout of a boycott against its partnership with a transgender influencer. That's nearly 2% of its workforce in the U.S. A spokesperson for the company told The Hill it's an attempt to simplify by changing its corporate structure. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I need to pay my taxes. What are my payment options?
The IRS has several options for paying your taxes. You can pay with IRS Direct Pay, a debit or credit card, or with an electronic funds withdrawal when you e-file your return. If you can't pay the full amount, consider paying over time with an online payment agreement or our Offer in Compromise program. Both tools are available on IRS.gov. Go to IRS.gov/payment to find an option that is best suited for you.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Sites like Facebook and Twitter out there. Mastodon is more decentralized. There are thousands of Mastodon servers out there in existence. We have one of them. Each Mastodon server has its own different rules, so some of them are not free speech friendly at all. Ours is. We only have a couple of rules on our Mastodon. One is no spam. If you're just looking to spam people, you're signing up for the wrong server. And number two, don't snitch. If you see somebody saying something you don't like, just hit the block button. We don't want you to report it because we won't do anything about it. So head over to social.freetalklive.com. You can get signed up there. When you sign up, the site will ask you a question about why you want to join. Just put something in there related to Free Talk Live or something that makes you sound human. That way we don't filter you out as a potential spammer. That's all the only reason that question exists. So head over to social.freetalklive.com and you can get signed up and start sharing your thoughts there. And that way when you inevitably get banned off of Twitter or Facebook or you finally come to your senses and decide to leave the sites on your own, you'll have somewhere to go that you've been cultivating a more free place to be online. Check it out at social.freetalklive.com. And also, thanks to Chris LaRue, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of our AMPS program. He's diamond level, which is means he's doing a lot more than what we ask. We only ask for $5 a month. Chris is like, I think it's 50 is nice. Diamond. So thank you, Chris, for stepping up at that level. I definitely appreciate that support. It helps us advertise, market, and promote and support Free Talk Live. So if you appreciate the work that we do and you want to get some perks like access to the AMP Only podcast, which has the full radio show without the recorded commercials, you can get signed up over at amps.freetalklive.com. If, forever, for instance, you don't care for Patreon, which is what is behind the scenes at the AMP program, if you don't like Patreon, you can also instead sign up for our Odyssey channel. And you can contribute $5 a month through Odyssey as well, and that way you'll be helping Odyssey instead of Patreon, which is arguably probably a more freedom-friendly way to go. Just go to video.freetalklive.com and hit the join button up there at the top of the page. So, I've got a little bit more here from this poll, this survey that was conducted all the way back in 1998, and conducted between now and then, I don't know on how many different years, but at some points, including 2019. So we have numbers from 2019, 1998, and 2023 showing that in 98, patriotism was purportedly, quote, very important to the survey respondents. And then in 2023, it went down to 38%. Religion was at 62% as very important to the survey respondents in 1998. That is now down to 39%. Having children is down significantly as well. It was 59% back in 1998 saying having children was very important. That is now just 30%. Here in 2023. In 2019, it was 43%. So it's dropped significantly since just the last 4 years. The share of Americans is down very significantly on children. And like I said during the break, Jay, I suspect you've got some thoughts about that one.
Well, so everybody's being programmed and incentivized not to have children. There's a war on nuclear families. There's a war on families in general. So many men don't want to get married right now. I'm sure if there's a survey, how many men would like to get married, or are planning on getting married, you know, today
probably
versus
a small number,
very low, because a lot of men, get married and the example has, and they lose, they get divorced and they lose half of what they bought.
Yeah. Who wants to go through that?
And then they have to pay child support. They get ordered to pay for the health insurance, they get, you know, I actually know guys that were literally got divorced, had really good jobs, and basically after the alimony, the child support, and the health insurance, in Massachusetts, a guy got ordered to pay for the health insurance of, you know, his wife and the two kids.
Mm-hmm.
That was like $3,500 a month for the family health insurance plan.
That's crazy.
He wasn't even on it. It was just his wife. And the two kids. And he was like, what do I do? And he just quit his job.
Yeah, can't work.
And he moved back in with his parents. And he's like, yeah, I just...
Now he does nothing.
Yeah, well, sort of. He, you know,
on the books, probably does nothing, right?
He did that for a little while. The wife lost all the benefits. And, you know, and he was like, you know, then because he was doing nothing, wasn't earning any income. He basically, then there was his child support. He didn't have to provide the insurance now.
Mm-hmm.
And then his child support got, you know, way down. It was, I don't remember, you know, it went from being, you know, $2,000 a month to a couple hundred dollars a month or something. Mm-hmm. And then finally the wife was like, oh, this ain't good, blah, blah, blah. And the guy had a really successful business and just kind of walked away from it.
Wow.
And because it was just killing him. And yeah, some other family member owned a business or whatever. But, and once he got an agreement with, you know, and basically it got to the point where his kids became teenagers and they're like, no, we want to live with you, Dad.
Really?
And then the wife had to, then basically as soon as the kids moved back in with him, he started right back up in the business again with the kids because they're old enough to work the business with him.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are in their late 20s now, mm-hmm. really good kids that turned out very well. But there was definitely a few years where the woman like drove this guy into the ground.
Damn.
And was able to and was incentivized.
Well, right. And the government has ruined marriage, right?
And so many young men have seen uncles, their dads. They've seen just their dads be powerless, and they don't want to go through that.
Yeah. Thankfully, it didn't happen with my parents. They're still together, but I've seen plenty of friends. I've seen plenty of other people go through this stuff, and I had no interest in marriage. I'm now a married man with Bonnie, but I didn't expect that. I wasn't planning on it.
And then... And that's one thing I like to say to young people. Well, you'll find a girl that'll change that, hopefully. Or you'll find a guy that'll change. I said that to him. I'm never getting married. I'm never having kids. Well, maybe that'll change once, you know, the right individual, you know, sets your particular hormones off that, you know, you want you to desire those things. But, you know, the thing is this world is a scary place for a lot of people to have kids. Or like, I can't even afford to take care of myself, most people, because they're, you know, got subscriptions to all this nonsense. They, you know, they're living way beyond their means. You know, a lot of people would rather drive a nice car than have kids. You know, they'd rather have the car payment. They'd rather have, you know, and there's just a lot of things you can't do, you know, once you have kids. Like, whatever your recreation is, whether it's, you know, if your recreation is partying, doing drugs, if it's, you know, going hiking all the time, or if it's, you know, dirt bike riding or, you know, mountain biking, you're not doing this for a few years. Like, so maybe if your recreation, you know, so basically my recreations have all become things I can do with my kids. I happen to have turned my recreation into raising some farm animals.
Yep.
And you can do that with kids. So you got to sort of, you know, do that. And I've had I got a lot of friends that are like, I don't want kids because I'm selfish. I've had so many friends tell me that. And that's just great. They can be honest that they're selfish. But the thing is, you know,
that's the reason why a lot of people have kids in the first place, which is a reason, I think, to not have kids, to do it for selfish reasons, because you want your son or daughter to accomplish a thing that you weren't able to do, and so you want to push them in that particular direction or try to make them into a certain type of individual. I mean, there are people that have kids for, I think, the wrong reasons, and to glorify themselves is one of those reasons.
Yeah, I've actually have seen a couple examples of some parents like really pushing their kids hard in sports and certain types of academia, like that they like hurdles they couldn't make as a kid because I don't know, they got pregnant or, you know, this happened or that happened or whatever.
They're trying to live vicariously through their kid, and it may not be what the kid wants to do.
I see a lot of that happen, which and then the school system does this to kids too. They push these kids to go into college programs, for example, where and then the kid, you know, halfway through college, I'm like, I don't want to do this. And then, you know, how many people do you know that get all the way through college and they get some kind of degree or master's or PhD or whatever these, you know, different levels of college accomplishment are? And they're like, I'm making more money as a nanny. Actually, I know about four or five girls right now that all went to college. You know, I got all this student debt, and they're making $35 as a nanny because the job that the college pays, is $35 cash an hour as a nanny, or I go to, you know, I go to work in a public school to be an art teacher, and, you know, I make, you know, $12 an hour and then pay taxes on it, basically. But, you know, you do get a golden parachute retirement fund if the fiat system's still there.
Yeah.
But, and that's like part of, you know, Lily Tang Williams,
yeah. She's super activist.
Super activist, grew up in Mao, China. She talks a lot about the breaking down of the family and, you know, the other thing and being a tactic of government to, you know, get more power. So we have an epidemic of people with no children. So right now we have the most amount of women in history that are over 35 years old that are without children. All of those women are ultimately going to become dependent on government at one point in their life. And a lot of them know it and are prepared. And a lot of the way they're dealing with it is they're, you know, if you look at a lot of the white 50, 60 year old liberal left leaning women, almost all of them are without children. And because they lack confidence in society. So they want government to take care of them, and they're going to fight for government to take care of them, and they're going to vote for government to take care of them because they're pretty much screwed when it gets to the point that you can't take care of yourself. And, you know, and so it's the state who's going to be picking what nursing home they go into, for example, if there is a nursing home. In some places, like in Canada, very soon, they'll probably just be executing these people.
Yeah, they're already, it's legal to do euthanasia in Canada, and they have a government health care system. So they're now starting to recommend to people that they should just die instead of, you know, be fixed in some way.
And I'll tell you, I dated a handful of very amazing women that when I say I casually dated them, I wasn't like, you know, sleeping with them. I was just getting to know them. But there was one girl in particular in Colorado I went on several dates with. I was never romantic with her. She was a lot of fun to hang out with. We had a good time. And she was just so just hell-bent on not having any kids because she really believed the world was overpopulated and she didn't want to have any kids.
Well, I mean, that is silly. The whole overpopulation thing is an absolute myth.
She believes it. She buys it. Yeah. It's been,
well, it's promoted by government.
Ever since we've been little kids in school.
Yeah, it's part of the whole environmental movement is to depopulate the earth, which is really crazy and completely unnecessary. There's plenty of room out there, by the way. Like, just in the United States, two-thirds of the land west of the Mississippi is completely unoccupied. So, I mean, there's a ton of space out there. But, I mean, there is one, I think, good counter argument as far as somebody who cares about liberty, who doesn't want to have kids. If you're an activist, they can use your kids against you.
Sure can.
And we've seen that happen many times. We've seen plenty of people have kids and drop out of the activism scene. You're an exception to that. Aldo Axelman's another exception to that, the guy from Liberty Block who calls Free Talk Live on occasion. But there have been people who have completely dropped away because they're scared to death that the government is going to come after their kids if they are seen at a protest or if they're, you know, involved in activism in some way. And they know that that's a weak spot for them and that they will target. In fact, they tried it with you.
Sure. Actually, there's several examples of this targeting of free staters by New Hampshire DCYF.
Right.
In fact, there's a little, like, we got another sentencing hearing coming up for my wife on August 17th, which is actually the same day as your sentencing hearing, right?
For now.
And one of the things we were reading through some court paperwork, like all this stuff that the, you know, chief of police put a kibosh on, the Henniker chief of police put a stop to with a motion to intervene. It's like, how do we get that into our current court case to show the, you know, the corruption of this? Because I kind of tried with the last one. So, like, that's something that we, you know, sort of need to meet with a lawyer on. And if there's somebody out there listening to this that wants to email me at jnoone.com.
JAYNOONE.com.
So, that would be helpful. We got some stuff in there that they wouldn't let us get in, at the last time, and I didn't present it super well, but I need to, you know, we need to show this that we were targeted. J.R. Hole was targeted. We have Rochelle Kelly and two other families that brought their kid, you know, all these people, members of Health Freedom New Hampshire, targeted. We have very clear examples of this. And we see this in California. You see this in New York. You see it in a lot of blue places. You even see it in places like Texas, in Austin, where there's families targeted by Child Protective Services that are, you know, families that are clearly libertarian type, liberty, you know, type people who are, you know, just doing good things. And yeah, I have, and you're exactly right about a lot of libertarian free stater families essentially going dark in the libertarian community once they have kids because they are not interested in the collateral damage that, you know, is another vector to attack you from. And Child Protective Services, who are professional, well-funded child traffickers. In fact, they get their funding. They get more funding the more children that they traffic. And they get this funding from the federal government. There's a really good documentary called Save the Babies that explains this quite well. And the other thing, too, is, you know, all these people who aren't having kids, they're sort of having a lot of these women, their biological clock, you know, their ticker tells them when they're in their mid-30s, it's time to freak out. You don't have any kids. So a lot of these people who are state employees that are these childless, you know, women that are our particular social worker that had lied about us, Melissa Coombs, who happens to be in a relationship with a woman, doesn't have any biological children of her own, has a lot of friends that aren't able or not willing to have biological children. So these guys have an agenda to go out and harvest babies, healthy babies. White healthy babies are the most desirable ones, and you know, get them to their other friends who aren't breeders, so they can have babies. Because the thing is the left isn't really having kids. So like the according to somebody's studies, like the left leaning liberal type families are having like 1.2 or 1.3 kids per family. And the conservatives are having like 2.5 kids per family. I don't remember where that study comes from. It's something I heard on a Tim Pool show a few times. He talks about it a lot. But so they're sort of breeding themselves out of existence. But what they're doing is they're recruiting like crazy with the public schools.
Yeah.
And, you know, and all these heavily government regulated professions. So you're seeing a lot of places, like a lot of, like nursing, for example, doctors, a lot of them are very much, their patriotism is, I believe, the wrong kind of patriotism, especially if you look at what happened with COVID, where all these, you know, all these nurses are like, you know, all about masking and vaxxing, and they're just following
do whatever
the
government says.
And I have a lot of friends that are dating. They're like, one guy's like, my aunt, actually, she brought this up, and I talked about this at Pork Fest a little bit. A few times about hot nurses. They're like, oh, you know, nurses are, there's a lot of hot young nurses out there, and they take good care of their bodies, and they're smart, and they're good looking, and, you know, and they're educated, and, you know, they've gone to school and all this stuff. And the thing is a lot of guys don't want to date, you know, these woke women. And they're just not, you know, they're just, it is not attractive.
There's a movement of guys that want to date women from outside of the United States, in fact.
Yep, Philippines, Japan is a big destination. In fact, I definitely know of a handful of people that have intentions of going and finding a wife in Japan. Because Japan, the women are very desperate for
a real man, yeah.
Because there's a major soy boy epidemic happening in Japan. So where they're just not interested in women. And that's the thing, too. We have young men that have access to basically high-speed internet pornography, any kind of pornography you can want. So when you're a young man and your, you know, testosterone is a hormone that is driving your sexual reproduction desires, and you have the internet there programming now your sexual reproduction desires, and I believe this is true. So definitely when I was 12, 13, 14 years old, we had this babysitter. Her name was Shonda. And I didn't realize this till my stepmom brought it up to me, but she like looks just like my wife. And I was in love with that woman when I was a little boy.
Wow.
I was totally head over heels for her. I was never like, you know, inappropriate with her. I knew better. You know, she was the babysitter. She's like, you know, 15 years older than me.
Right.
And she'd also probably smack the heck out of me if I, you know, tried anything. She was, you know, pretty conservative lady. But anyways, you know, that is, it's just kind of a coincidence, but whatever, you know, when that, you know, sexual hormone thing starts happening with both boys and girls, they are going to be attracted to, learn to be attracted to whatever's in their environment. So, and the thing is even with, in social media with the girls is, you know, steering a lot of the girls wrong. It's, you know, convincing them not to want to be moms, to want to be boss babes and career women. And then also the other thing that social media seems to be driving is a lot of these girls, they want bad boys. And actually, that's been going on forever. When I was in high school, the girls were like, oh, I was definitely told in high school and shortly after high school, you're the kind of guy I'd like to date when I settle down. I heard that a lot. You're such a great guy. You're so nice. And, you know, and then years later, you know, these girls see I'm married and I got kids and they're like divorced and, you know, they got kids from a few different dads and I've definitely had a handful of them be like, I should have tried to settle down with
you
or something.
Before.
Or I definitely had one girl said, I should have locked you down when I had the opportunity. But the thing is with all of this, you know, training and manipulating of our brain development, So the boys, for example, they can just watch some, they learn to watch pornography and get an easy dopamine hit from the pornography. And so these kids that are basically putting their faces in internet devices most of their life anyways, they're too shy to even go talk to a girl because they really haven't been exercising that part of their, you know, their brain. Or that social skill of talking with people anyways.
Not at all, yeah.
Because they've been doing it either through text or through instant messenger, or they're just talking to a device. They're talking to an AI.
Gen Z is less likely to even go out on a date.
Right.
They're less likely to even hang out with their own friends.
Yeah, Pornhub's not going to reject you. The AI bot is not going to reject
you. Well, right, right. In fact, you reminded me, Jay, when you were talking about porn or whatever, I went and I looked because I'd seen an image on social media and I just went to verify that it was true. And it's not a surprising image or anything like that. There's a website, Google Trends. And it shows you put in whatever terminology you want. Like, what are people searching for over time? What are the results from a year ago to today or 5 years ago to today for a certain search phrase? And the search phrase AI girlfriend has gone crazy in the last year. There's a tremendous interest now compared to just a year ago on this terminology. And the same thing for AI boyfriend, not as much. So it looks like a lot more interest in AI girlfriend than AI boyfriend.
There's a lot of 35-year-old plus women who are freaking out because they don't have a man. Every time I see these young girls that got like a good guy, that have a guy, I tell the girls all the time, you are so lucky you got that dude.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot, especially the real good looking ones, will look at me like, aren't you supposed to be telling him he's lucky? You know, and nope, you're lucky because you're a dime a dozen, honey. And there's so many men that just aren't interested. Though, first off, they don't have the sexual desire for a real woman because the computer can the AI, the algorithm can just touch all those desires. It can make all that stuff happen, and it's no work. It's no rejection. You're not going to lose half of your stuff.
The AI is always going to think you're interesting or whatever.
Yep. And you're probably not interested in making babies either. And there's a lot of I know a lot of guys that are in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, and they're like, yeah, you ever wish you had kids? The answer is not really or no. But women, I know so many women that we're like, yeah, I'd kind of like to have kids, or I have this urge. And then some of them are like, I really wish I had kids. And, you know, it led me through in my 40s. I was very depressed, you know, because I didn't have kids. I didn't have a man. And, you know, so this is just an engineered part of, you know, breaking down society, you know, destroying the families. And then what do you get? You get a whole bunch of kids out of wedlock. You get a whole bunch of kids raised by single parents, where the parent or the mom is most of the time the single parent. Now the mom has to be dependent on the state,
that's
to take the state aid.
And
that, you know, that sets an example where, you know, if I can't perform, the state will just take care of me, you know. And
by the way, a lot of kids that are raised in welfare households end up behind bars later on. And when you break down the numbers, by the way, Jay, on this survey where it found that in 2023, only 30% of respondents were interested in having children, when you break it down amongst younger respondents, no surprise, only 23% of adults under the age of 30 said that having children was very important to them. Now, we didn't get the breakdown of how many said it was somewhat important, right? Because if there's a very important, there's probably also a somewhat important. So they're not focusing on that. I suspect there's still some numbers there. But regardless, the number that has dropped is very significant. It was 59% said having children was very important back in 1998. It is now 30%, and even lower for younger ages. Back tomorrow. In the meantime, join us over at freetalklive.com and social.freetalklive.com. The conversation continues.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.